You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
The Super Bowl is Sunday, you may have heard. People I've talked to, that no one's bringing it up. No one's talking about it. No one's asking. It just doesn't seem to be top of mind. It will be once it gets a little bit nearer to it. This is just not an area that's full of fans of the Eagles or the Patriots. But it is the game. It's going to be on Fox. Coverage begins at noon. I'm sure the NFL Network will be on at 9 o'clock in the morning or 8 or earlier, as will ESPN. Because they probably, once Fox begins their coverage, they got to stop theirs. So they will do 5.5 hours of God knows what, analyzing, talking, drawing pictures and X's and O's and having people sing and commentate, and there'll be panels of laughter, and it's an entirely overblown situation over a football game. But it is what it is, and it'll be played. I mentioned before that I threw away, I think, 17 pages of stories and facts about this game that are just entirely without point. So the ones that I did keep are some of the things you can bet on, the odds on these things. They're called prop bets, and they, I don't know where you do it. Either I'm not sure that any bookie would take this. This is probably in Las Vegas or some of these offline sites. Or out of the country sites like Aruba and someplace. They have the odds of the opening toss coming up heads. That's 1-1. Odds on what color of Gatorade will be poured on the winning coach. Orange leads the way at 3-1, tied with blue at 3-1. The odds that viewership is down 2-3. Let's see. Odds it'll be the highest watched game ever. Not going to happen. 39-1. Odds that Donald Trump will insult the NFL as a whole are 3-4. Any black NFL player, 3-1. Any white NFL player, 30-1. That's nice. Justin Timberlake. Why would he bust up on Timberlake? The Eagles franchise, the Patriots franchise, Tom Brady, and your mother were all on that list. This is so stupid. Odds the goalposts fall down, 5,000-1. Odds the game gets delayed by anything, 4-1. Odds the power goes out, 12-1. Odds there is a brawl on the field, 99-1. That isn't a good look when the game is on in 250-something countries. Odds a fan streaks the field, 5-1. Odds on Pink's hair color during the anthem, blonde, 2-1. And so on. Odds that there's a halftime show wardrobe malfunction, 49-1. There's not going to be any malfunction. Odds Tom Brady won't play, 999-1. I first read this and I read it wrong and I thought, well, that's really a little bit too much. Odds Rob Gronkowski tackles somebody or jumps on a defenseless player when the player is dead. What? It's when the play is dead. So I misread that. But boy, now that would be a bet to see Gronk jump on a dead guy on the field. 24-1. Odds Brady retires after the game, 49-1. Odds Belichick retires, 5-2. And this goes on and on and on. The referees now use Microsoft tablets to review plays. Odds that one of them malfunctions, 11-1. So if you really are way into this and want to waste your money on this nonsense, you can do it, I'm sure. But the line has dropped 2 points, which means that people are putting in a lot of money on the Eagles to cover the spread, which is now 4.5, meaning 5. That's why they play the game, and we'll see. But there's not much money to be won unless you bet a lot of money. And if the Eagles win, I don't think it would surprise many people. But the Patriots are mighty dang good. So we're going to find out what they come up with. The Grizz played last night. Another heartbreaker. They lost by 2 points to Detroit. I didn't watch much of it, but it was the appearance of Blake Griffin, his recent trade from San Diego. So he had a good game, and the Grizz lose that game last night. Ooh, what else? LeBron James. I'm tired of hearing about where he's going to play next year or this year, and his entire he's just getting way old. His contract is up after this year, and these discussions on ESPN go on forever about where he may end up. I just don't know that anybody cares. The Cavaliers are having a really bad year. That isn't really good. Kevin Love is out for a month, and the team is playing badly. And so I guess that LeBron wants out. And that's it. Last night, Detroit beat the Grizz 104-102. Wizards over Toronto, Minnesota wins, Houston, and Denver, all in the NBA winners last evening. The email address here is mail@drakeinthemorning.com. And Wes gets to see the wisdom that you share with us.
Yeah, so this one from Mike says, two legends. John Scott was the radio rebel on my radio in the late 60s on FM 100 in Memphis, always playing the more progressive, sometimes more obscure cut. So welcome, John.
They called him, he was a radio rebel?
That's what I'll Mike calls him.
So. Well, yes, John's a rebel. Yeah, for sure.
And Brad said, so groundhog equals sausage. So it's sausage day. Let's have some sausage.
Okay.
I like that take on it, though.
Yeah, that's cute.
Anything for some more sausage.
Yeah, right.
Jen wrote this one in with the headline of truth getting in the way of a good story, and it's a follow-up on that dumbass we had yesterday where a grenade launcher was found in a Goodwill store in Florida that someone had donated, and the police came out, and they said it had a live round in it that they took out and disposed of in a special container, and then they were locking away the grenade launcher. Turns out it was a toy.
Well, okay.
The picture of it looks kind of real, but I would have to think that it's plastic, which a real grenade launcher wouldn't be. But if it was so obviously a toy, who was the police officer that came by and so dramatically disposed of the live charge that was in it?
I don't know, but that leads to a real news story that is really sad and unfortunate and just kind of scary. L.A. yesterday, there was a school shooting, and that's all I heard, that there was a school shooting. Well, when the story began to develop and get more information out there, what happened, this girl, I think she was 11 or 12 years old. This whole thing was an accident. That's the word that's being used to describe what happened. Four kids got shot. Now, I'm trying to picture this. The story goes, and I heard it this morning, and it sounded like a real story. It was from a real source. She had a gun in her backpack. Well, first of all, why does a kid 12 years old have a gun in her backpack? And most guns, when they're dropped, unless they are cocked or something, or there's one in the chamber and the gun is cheap or ineffective or defective, it just won't go off. She dropped her backpack, and somehow four kids got shot in the process. This doesn't make any sense. We should find this story, Sid. That's the story that they're giving, but there are question marks everywhere. It was an accident. These little kids were all freaking out, but she dropped her backpack. And the gun went off, shooting four kids. It doesn't add up. But the big question is, why was there a gun in her backpack? There have been, 9, 10 school shootings in the first month of this year. It's not good.
This one from Julianne is about the State of the Union viewers and ratings. And said, one point about the low viewership of the State of the Union I wanted to share with you. It's not necessarily that the 50 people under 55 aren't paying attention. It's just that they're not giving their ratings attention to Donald Trump. She says, I know a number of people who specifically and intentionally did not watch the broadcast, but opted to wait and read the transcript, which was available minutes after the conclusion of the speech.
Or go to YouTube or go to any news site, and they will have the highlights. It's that simple.
They either didn't want to contribute to the ratings number of a man who's obsessed with such data, or they simply can't stand to listen to the sound of his voice. For some people, the latter has been the case for the entire duration of his presence in the public eye. It's a brave new world we're living in where TV ratings don't always tell the tale, says Julianne.
And thank you for being an expert on ratings.
Let's see. This one from Ralph says, listening to your discussion about the political and social activism of the artist in the 60s and 70s, he's referring to that conversation with David Waters
again. Yeah.
Reminded me of one of my favorite songs of that period, wondering if you could fit Eve of Destruction into one of your theme sets someday.
All right.
And Alex is complaining about the drivers. Everyone in the fast lane, it's on the left, it's for those going fast. The right is for those of us who want to go to the speed limit, apply makeup, eat breakfast, or just go slow.
You must be new to Memphis, sir. So. That's been the case here for a long time. This morning I was going along. Traffic is always pretty heavy about 5:15, and I was on 55 for the speed limit. No, I was on 240 where it's 55, and of course no one goes that. And I think everybody was kind of doing along at about 70, and I just kind of heard this swoosh like a jet to my left, and two cars doing at least 90 and perhaps more went by in that left lane as if they were, playing chicken or out trying to drag race on the interstate. And I thought, where in the world are the police at a time like this? These two idiots were on each other's tails going 90.
Hate that.
It's just maddening. And then, of course, the next move is somebody going, 45 in the left lane. That's where you end up dead. So pay attention. These people, not you, because you, of course, are a great driver. But the moron factor is off the chart on the interstates. And this city and state never end up on the top 10, worst places for drivers in America. I just don't get it. The newest one had the worst drivers in America by state. Number one was Hawaii.
Huh.
I thought that was kind of weird, but anyway.
And a couple of people sent us a link to that guy in the Spider-Man cosplay who did the dancing at the game shop.
Yeah.
He sent us to the his Instagram page. He does this a lot around town, apparently, and just somehow that one thing he did yesterday got spread far, far and wide.
So. Well, it tickled Sid. I thought the guy was a moron. But
I don't know why, but I died laughing. He was a moron, but I could just picture the actor who plays Spider-Man, that being him. And well, I don't know. I just died laughing.
It was pretty funny. I don't know what. I mean, he's just trying to break the monotony, I guess.
Yeah.
And he did succeed there. It's pretty weird, but I guess he
ain't hurting anybody.
He hurt nobody. He felt the need to dance and to get it out of his system. And so he did.
And he's making people smile.
Wearing a Spider-Man outfit at a GameStop. Okay. Well, he's doing well. He'll be at Lakeside soon. Valentine's Day is coming up. That's the next countdown to the ongoing madness, but it is there February 14th this year, and Sherry's Berries is always a great idea for your lady friend, your mom, your grandma, whoever you buy Valentine's for. Sherry's, Berries.com is the website. You've heard about them for a long time. This year, Sherry's Berries and Pro Flowers have teamed up to help you really impress your Valentine with the perfectly paired collection. This is a one-of-a-kind gift. The beautifully dipped strawberries and the flowers arrive together in a beautiful, specially designed box that keeps the berries cold and the flowers fresh, guaranteed. Right now, if you use the code DRAKE, you save some money on any one of their perfectly paired combinations. There are several, and the money off is 20% on those combinations or any other gift over $29 when you use the code DRAKE. So go to the website, Berries, berries.com, and get the money off the perfectly paired gift of your choice, over $29, featuring freshly dipped strawberries and the beautiful blooms from Pro Flowers. Berries.com. Drake is the code at checkout. Use it. You will like it. And so will your Valentine. So do that, and everybody will be happy for the Valentine season. Dumbasses of the day are coming up.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Hello, it's Friday, February 2nd, 2018. It is chilly out, surprisingly so. This morning it was about 25. The wind chill was 14 at 5 o'clock. Today it won't make 40, mid to upper 30s. Wind chills will be playing into that. So it is cold. Television people suggest you wear a heavy coat. maybe gloves, maybe a scarf. So I thank them for their assistance. So it's going to be cold, and tonight cold, and then tomorrow a bit warmer. Rain moving around tomorrow and Sunday. Next week, 40s, 30s, the rat saw his shadow, meaning more winter, but that not necessarily. That's just not, who knows? But Groundhog Day is in effect, although the event, if you can call it that, has already come and gone and took about 30 seconds. So that's done. Dumbasses of the day. About an hour from now, we're going to chat with our longtime friend, John Scott, a Memphis man who is a radio DJ back in the days of the FM progressive radio on FM 100. He went to Los Angeles, got into the record business, and without him and his assistants, you might never have heard of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. True story, and that is not overselling it. Then he and I worked together with TP and other bands in L.A. in the mid-'80s. And then the death of Tom last year was an incredible blow to, well, everybody. To those who knew him and worked with him and those who just loved his songs and just liked him as a person. So John's doing a new book that'll be out in the spring. Tom Petty and me recounting he has incredible stories that are laugh out loud funny and very insightful about Tom and the Heartbreakers and all that they went through over the course of, I guess about 40 plus years. So John's going to join us from L.A. and discuss some of these things in about an hour. But first, the dumbasses of the day. You know, this just never stops, and I don't know that it ever will. The outrage, I don't even know what the words are. How easily offended people are. And there's something wrong with them. It's not the issue at hand, usually, that is offensive. It's these people's own projecting of their insecurities and fears onto everybody else. Because most of this stuff is ridiculous. There are truly offensive things and words. But, man, that it's all changed. You know, 10 years ago, you could say, you know, some stuff... Pardon me.
Yeah.
That you couldn't say that now we get you fired. But what people get offended by is just unbelievable. Here is one example. Now, this is from Utah. Consider that Utah is a remarkably conservative state, conservative in a different way than states in the South, but still pretty conservative for various reasons. The school board... in an area out there, Farmington High School is the school in question. And they wanted to change the name of their mascot. So last year, the students at this high school in Utah, they voted overwhelmingly to select Phoenix as the mascot. However, some people who want to assure you they're no prudes became concerned with the name Phoenix. Now follow along, because the plural form of Phoenix is Phoenixes. And they think that that sounds too much like penises.
Oh, come on.
Where's their mind?
Exactly. They have a problem that they can't disclose. They have a fear of the penis, or they... it just leaves you speechless. Phoenixes, if that is in fact the plural of Phoenix, and penises sound too similar, and they don't want this to be out there. This is how crazy some people are, and obsessed, and insecure, and just nuts. A petition to change the name, 3,000 people signed it. These people should all be sent to live somewhere else. I don't know, like Mexico. The school board says, sorry, we're going to stick with Phoenix. Take your insecurities and your fear of the penis and stick it.
That's good. The plural Phoenix could be, I guess, whatever you want it to be.
Phoenixes, Phoenix, Pheni.
In mythology, there was only one Phoenix, so the plural form was never an issue.
Why would there ever need to be more than one? Most mascots are plural. Stanford is the Cardinal. not the Cardinals. They're the Cardinal. Notre Dame is the Irish. That's kind of plural, but not really. But this is just Phoenix. So somebody is going to at some point say the Davis or the Farmington Phoenixes, and someone's going to get all uptight because it sounds like penises. And I hope these kids bring signs to the games with giant penises on them just to egg it on a little bit.
With wings that are on fire. Yeah. This one from Cleveland, where Ronald Newberry was shot 16 times last month as he was pulling out of his driveway. Who did it and why is not really pertinent to this issue of dumbassery here. He managed to drive, even after being shot this much, about a quarter of a mile down his street. I guess he was going for help or for a hospital, but then he had to pull over. He couldn't drive anymore. But by then, the half mile away from his driveway, he was out of Cleveland and technically in the suburb of Euclid. The police who showed up gave Newberry CPR as they waited for an ambulance, but it never came up because all the Euclid ambulances were busy at the time, and it's a suburb, so they might not have that many. And the ones from Cleveland said, "You're not in Cleveland, so we're not going to come."
That's incredible.
The police finally, as they're doing CPR, decided to take him to the hospital, which was 2 minutes away. And after he said that he was getting lightheaded and couldn't breathe, he's lived through all of this. The city of Cleveland says the case is under review.
That's bad.
We had a similar sort of thing like that a couple of years ago.
We had jurisdiction issues here with that, and that was a real problem. And you just can't. It's just hard to figure that the lines were drawn like that, and people just didn't go to help this guy. That's not good. Well, he at least is not dead yet. This is hard to believe. I have to assume it's true because it made the news. I haven't seen it anywhere else, but Facebook manages to get on the news a lot and because of dumb people and dumb things and hate in general. I have a new survey today that shows that more and more people think that Facebook is dangerous and divisive and should be outlawed. It won't be. It makes too much money. But they are trying to at least put a good face on it by altering some things and making some changes. This story says this: if you logged into Facebook Live to see the super blue blood moon this week, you may have missed out. Why? This story says that a Facebook Live feed of the moon over Greece. Now, I'm guessing that in Greece it was really bright and brilliant and easier to see there. So the live feed was from Greece. The live feed was, in reality, a 9-year-old still image overlaid with a current time stamp with wind sounds added. Facebook Live showed a 9-year-old image overlaid with a current time stamp with sound effects to make it look real. Despite that, it was viewed more than 16 million times over 4 hours on Wednesday.
That's good marketing.
What does that say about the gullibility and how easily the masses, the lemmings, the cattle that we are, can be messed with, lied to, the endless manipulation that goes on in the media? 16 million people bought it, but I guess, why wouldn't you?
Right. It's not Facebook's fault. They're not the ones who did it.
That you're stupid.
I
don't know, but that's something else. A couple of more short ones just because they're funny. Northwest Florida. Yes, the paper there claims that Walton County, Florida sheriffs recently arrested a boy for a DUI. He was 28 years old. He was so drunk he couldn't get his license out of his wallet. The officer asked him to step out of the car, please, so he could conduct a field sobriety test. This is always fun when these guys are out of their minds. The drunk in question asked the officer if he would mind holding his cigarette while he performed the test. Not really good form. It's better than saying, can you hold my beer while I do this? But he asked him to hold his cigarette. Okay. The dude he blew a .312. He was near death and driving on a suspended license. But he had money to buy smokes and didn't want to waste them, so you can't blame him. More from Florida. Charlotte Gutenberg. People have different opinions of tattoos, and it's each to his own. This lady and I, I'm not a fan of them on any. Well, I mean, some of them look good, some of them are. I don't know. It's an individual choice. This lady has set a new record, Guinness World Record. If her entire goal in life was to get in this book before she died, well, she did, unless somebody passes her by. She's almost 70 years old. She got her first tattoo when she was 50. If my math is right, for 20 years, she's been adding ink to almost every part of her body. Right now, she is the world's most tattooed woman and makes the Guinness Record book. 98.75% of her body is covered in ink.
All right.
Reminding us of the Ray Bradbury story from many years ago about, what was it called? What was it? The guy was covered in tattoos. It was made into a movie. It was a short story that became a film.
The Illustrated Man.
That's exactly right. Who was in that movie?
I'll have to look about
somebody
the movie.
Who was a pretty decent star.
Okay, I've got
it. I want to say. I can't think, but I do remember the story. And
Rod Steiger.
Rod Steiger. That's it. And that movie was creepy. And I don't remember why he got so much ink. Yeah, but that was.
It's something to do with how he sees the future.
Very interesting.
Like, I kept wanting to say tattooed man, and I knew that wasn't right.
Yeah, no, but that story was probably from the 50s.
Yeah.
And the film was made after.
Sometime in the 60s.
It came out, yeah. And this idiot, her name is Ruby Riches. If that's her real name, she's got to be a dancer somewhere. Ruby is from New Zealand, and she's not real bright. She was dressing up as a punk rocker for some kind of party or something. So she used super glue to put vampire teeth on her real teeth. Nice. Ruby ain't real bright. She's an older gal, and she got dressed up as a punk rocker, wanted to add to the look by gluing the teeth to her own teeth. So she did, and they wouldn't come off. She had to call her dentist. He wasn't available. So she had to track down somebody because it was hurting her, I guess. And they had to use a drill and stuff to remove the fake teeth from Ruby's empty head. Nice going, Rube. So there you go. That's some good dumbasses for this February 2, Friday, Groundhog Day. The groundhog, he's been on TV. They held him up. He's the same thing every year. This one story claims that this groundhog is the same one they've had forever. These people up there are delusional and have no lives, so they have to entertain themselves with this groundhog. This is their day, one day of the year. Five bizarre things you don't know about this tradition.
All right.
Phil has an inner circle. Punk's Tony Phil has an inner circle, in quotes here. Those men in top hats are not random. They're called the Inner Circle. So they're like...
the Groundhog Illuminati.
Exactly. They're responsible for planning the events around Groundhog Day. That's no small feat considering this year's events span more than a week. And they care for Phil.
God.
So Punxsutawney goes hog wild, naked in the streets, drinking, carrying on for a week over a 30-second event that involves a rodent. Phil's predictions, they say, are 100% accurate. Let's be clear, it's written here, taken at face value, they're not. The predictions are actually wrong more than they're right. But the Groundhog Club, really?
Uh-huh.
Do you have a card for that in your wallet, loser? Notes that the predictions are not geographically specific. So if Phil predicts a long winter, that's probably true. Somewhere in the world. Phil is basically immortal. It's been the same Phil for all 132 years of this ridiculous tradition, the club says.
Uh-huh.
That's more than 15 times longer than the upper end of a groundhog's typical lifespan. Last sentence, that's an old groundhog. Club members say they make him immortal by feeding him the, in quotes, groundhog punch every year.
Must only work for groundhogs.
Must. Club members say that Phil can communicate. They've been taking the punch themselves, obviously. They call it groundhog ease. And they say that Phil communicates his predictions to the current president of the Inner Circle. If you have no life and want to know more about this, there's more at groundhog.org.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.